Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah An-Nisa. Nisa means the women. Ya ayyuhan nasu ittaqoo rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahidatin wa khalaqa minha zawjaha wa batha minhuma rijalan kathiran wa nisaa wa attaqullaha alladhi tasa'aluna bihi wal arham innallaha kana alaykum raqiba. O mankind, fear your Lord, who created you from one soul, and created from it its mate, and dispersed from both of them many men and women. And fear Allah, through whom you ask one another. Meaning what? Request favors and demand rights from one another, in the name of Allah. Allah says, and fear Allah, through whom you ask one another, and the wombs. Fear Allah in regard to relationship of kins. Allah says, indeed, Allah is ever over you an observer. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, indeed, the woman has been created from the rib. In fact, the most crooked part of the rib is its upper part. So if you seek to straighten it, you will break it. Meaning, treat the women kindly. This ayah is one of the ayahs that is used in the khutbah of nikah. At the time of nikah, two families, two human beings are coming together for a lifetime. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises us to fear Him. He uses the word taqwa multiple times in this ayah. Because the only way that people will watch how they treat each other is out of the fear of Allah. Because they know that Allah watches our every move. And give to the orphans their properties, and do not substitute the defective of your own for the good of theirs, and do not consume their properties into your own. Indeed, that is ever a great sin. When this ayah was revealed, the Sahaba were scared, and they worried about using up the orphan's property and being accountable for it. So they would not use anything that came from the property of the orphans. If it was food, it would expire, it would decay, but they would not use it. The other thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here is that you should not substitute their good property for your bad property. And this is all hidden. This is all based on intention. Surah An-Nisa is about watching the rights of other people, making sure that we give the rights that are due upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about men and women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about relationships of blood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about people who are under your care. Allah says, be honest and do not exchange their good things, meaning secretly take away the good part of their property, the better part of their property, and substitute it with your own defective part. When this ayah was revealed, the Sahaba were worried. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down ayat and He says that you should try to do your best, and your intention and your niyyah is what matters. Allah says, and if you fear that you will not deal justly with the orphan girls, then marry those that please you of other women, 2 or 3 or 4. This ayah is in reference to the Sahaba who used to have orphan girls in their care. There were no orphanages at that time, so people would always take in children who did not have any parents left. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is advising the Muslims that you should marry the orphan girls, but only if you are able to give them their full dowry. Just because they are under your care does not mean that you can take advantage of them. So Allah says, if you feel fear that you will not be fair to them and you will not treat them with the same honor that you would treat another woman, then do not marry them and marry other women. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows men to have multiple marriages, but the limit is 4. Pre-Islam, men could marry as many women as they wanted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set the limit and reduced it to 4. Allah says, but if you fear that you will not be just, then marry only one or those your right hands possess, meaning prisoners of war. Allah says, that is more suitable that you may not incline to injustice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states that a man may only marry more than one wife if he knows that he can be absolutely fair with all of them. That comes down to the fact that a man should spend an equal amount of time with them, even if he likes one wife more than the other. He must spend on them equally as well. He must take care of them in exactly the same manner. وَآتُوا النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ وَآتُوا النِّسَاءَ, and give the women, meaning upon marriage, صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَةً, their bridal gifts graciously. The bridal gift is the obligatory mahar. A man must give a woman a certain amount of money at the time the marriage contract is signed. But if they give up willingly to you anything of it, then take it in satisfaction and ease. The mahar is a debt upon the man. In Islam, the mahar should be paid at the time the marriage takes place. However, it can be deferred in all or part of it if the woman agrees. This is a debt to the woman, and the wali cannot dismiss the mahar. Allah says, "And do not give the weak-minded your property, which Allah has made a means of sustenance for you, but provide for them with it, and clothe them, and speak to them words of appropriate kindness. Women are also under the care of men, as are the orphan, as are the weak-minded people," meaning people who are either young or they do not have the mental capacity to take care of their own business or their own property. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you take care of them, then this is a means of sustenance for you, but you must treat the people who are under your care kindly and with justice. Allah says then, and test the orphans in their abilities until they reach marriageable age. Then, if you perceive in them sound judgment, release their property to them. And do not consume it excessively and quickly, anticipating that they will grow up. And whoever, when acting as a guardian, is self-sufficient, meaning that he should fulfill his own needs independently, Allah says, should refrain from taking a fee. And whoever is poor, let him take according to what is reasonable. Then when you release their property to them, bring witnesses upon them. And sufficient is Allah as accountant. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. Allah warns us that He is the most important witness because He is the accountant. For men is a share of what the parents and close relatives leave, and for women is a share of what the parents and close relatives leave, be it little or much, an obligatory share. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the will. This was the previous ayah of the will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then abrogated this ayah. In the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply made it obligatory to have a will, and He left it up to the people to assign the shares. But the later ayah that inshallah we are going to read in Surah An-Nisa exactly denote the share of every single inheritor. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that women must also receive a share of the inheritance. And this was a new concept at the time of the Arabs. Allah then says, and when other relatives and orphans and the needy are present at the time of division, meaning of the property, then provide for them something out of it, meaning the estate, and speak to them words of appropriate kindness, because people will be looking on. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so affectionate and kind. He is teaching us to look out for those who will not inherit any money, but they are poor and needy and they are simply bystanders. Allah says, and let those executors and guardians fear injustice, as if they themselves had left weak offspring behind and feared for them. So let them fear Allah and speak words of appropriate justice. The executors of the wills, the guardians of the children, must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they should behave as if they were worried about their own children. Indeed, those who devour the property of orphans unjustly are only consuming into their bellies fire, and they will be burned in the blaze, meaning hellfire. There is a severe warning for usurping the wealth of anyone, but for orphans it is even more intense. May Allah save us from that. Ameen. Allah instructs the people of Iman. Allah instructs you concerning your children, meaning their portions of inheritance. For the male, what is equal to the share of two females. But if there are only daughters, two or more, for them is two-thirds of one's estate, meaning the two daughters can share in two-thirds of the estate, but no more. And if there is only one, meaning one daughter, for her is half. And for one's parents, to each one of them is a sixth of his estate, if he, meaning the man who is deceased, left children. But if he had no children, and the parents alone inherit from him, then for his mother is one-third. And if he had brothers and or sisters, for his mother is a sixth, after any bequest he may have made, or debt. What is a bequest? In Islam, we are only allowed to bequest maximum one-third of our property to anyone who is not a direct inheritor. For everyone else, those who are direct inheritors of the deceased, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has apportioned the proper share. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised against bequeathing all of that one-third share. In fact, he said it is better to leave the inheritors wealthy. Allah advises us and says, your parents or your children, you know not which of them are nearest to you in benefit. These shares are an obligation imposed by Allah. We must remember two things. Number one, the bequest has to be paid out first before the shares are transferred. Number two, any debt that has not been fulfilled must be paid out before any of the money is distributed to the inheritors. The debt includes any mahar that the man might not have given to the wife in his lifetime. And also funeral expenses and costs are to be covered before anything else is distributed. Indeed, Allah is ever-knowing and wise. And for you is half of what your wives leave if they have no child. But if they have a child, for you is one-fourth of what they leave, after any bequest they may have made or debt. And for them, meaning the wives, is one-fourth if you leave no child. But if you leave a child, then for them is an eighth of what you leave, after any bequest you may have made or debt. And if a man or woman leaves neither ascendants nor descendants, but has a brother or a sister, then for each one of them is a sixth. But if they are more than two, they share a third, after any bequest which was made or debt, as long as there is no detriment caused, meaning this is a condition for any bequest. If it has been violated by the deceased, his bequest is not to be honored, or it may be adjusted by the executor. This is an ordinance from Allah, and Allah is knowing and forbearing. These are the limits of Allah, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger will be admitted by Him to gardens in paradise, under which rivers flow, abiding eternally therein, and that is a great attainment. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger and transgresses His limits, He will put him into the fire to abide eternally therein, and he will have a humiliating punishment. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man might perform the actions of righteous people for 70 years, but when it is time to compile his will, he commits injustice, so his final work will be his worst, and he enters the fire. On the other hand, the Prophet, peace be upon him, gave the example of a man, he said, who might perform the deeds of evil people for 70 years, yet he is fair in his will, so his final work will be the best, and he enters paradise. We do not have the right to change our wills. Our wills have been constructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can only bequest maximum one-third of our property to those who are not our direct inheritors. It is not appropriate that a person should stay for 3 nights without constructing a will. Umar radiallahu anhu said that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stressed making a will because it will be the last deed that a person does. and especially for those who live in non-Muslim countries. If we do not make a will according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the country or the state that a person lives in will divide it according to their own laws, and that will be injustice. Allah then says, those who commit immorality, meaning unlawful sexual intercourse, of your women, bring against them 4 witnesses from among you. And if they testify, confine them, that is, the guilty women, to houses until death takes them or Allah ordains for them another way. The condition for the witnesses here is that they must have seen the actual act taking place. Allah then says, and the two who commit, meaning this unlawful sexual act, among you, punish, meaning dishonor them both. But if they repent and correct themselves, leave them alone. Indeed, Allah is ever accepting of repentance and merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes and makes us acknowledge that these are human weaknesses, that people can commit these sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala early on in Islam gave us some rulings. These ayat were actually abrogated by ayat that will come up in Surah An-Nur inshallah. So in the beginning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if people are guilty of committing fornication, then they should be confined to their homes, and particularly if they are women. And if the two of them, and it might be homosexual couple or heterosexual couple, the scholars differ over the context. Allah says, if they commit that, then they should be punished and they should be dishonored, meaning by cursing them or beating them or shaming them in public. But Allah says, if they repent and correct themselves, leave them alone. Indeed, Allah is ever accepting of repentance and merciful. The repentance accepted by Allah is only for those who do wrong in ignorance or carelessness. Jahiliyyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Jahiliyyah can be ignorance. Jahiliyyah can be that a person is ignorant at that moment. Allah says, the repentance accepted by Allah is only for those who do wrong in ignorance or carelessness and then repent soon after. It is those to whom Allah will turn in forgiveness, and Allah is ever knowing and wise. But repentance is not accepted of those who continue to do evil deeds up until when death comes to one of them, he says, indeed, I have repented now. Or of those who die while they are disbelievers. For them, we have prepared a painful punishment. Ibn Umar said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah accepts the repentance of the servant as long as the soul does not reach the throat. And when it reaches the throat, subhanallah, it is too late. Look at the people around the world. Look at the remnants, the bodies, the archaeological finds of the people of the past. People in Pompeii, Italy, their bodies were preserved doing the actions that they were doing. Subhanallah, this is a sign for us. It is a lesson for us. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have believed, it is not lawful for you to inherit women by compulsion. This was another practice pre-Islam. The deceased man's heirs would have rights of marriage or otherwise with the widow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the women are not property. You may not inherit women. And do not make difficulties for them in order to take back part of what you gave them, unless they commit a clear immorality. Meaning that do not be hard on them simply to pressurize them so they will give you back the mahar. Allah says, and live with them in kindness. For if you dislike them, perhaps you dislike a thing, and Allah makes therein much good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing men. He is telling men to be tolerant. That if you dislike a part of your wife, then perhaps you need to look at the other parts of her character and her behavior and what she contributes to the family, the good parts, so that you can deal with the parts that you do not like. Allah teaches men tolerance. In Sahih Muslim is a hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a mu'min man should not have animosity towards the mu'min woman due to her character. He might like another quality of hers. What does this mean? If immodesty and constant fighting and crossing limits are not the issue, then a person, a man especially, must be tolerant of his wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but if you want to replace one wife with another, and you have given one of them a great amount in gifts, do not take back from it anything. Would you take it in injustice and manifest sin? And how could you take it while you have gone in unto each other, and they have taken from you a solemn covenant? Allah has allowed divorce in Islam. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also states that if the man has given the wife a great deal of gifts, or even a small number of gifts, he has no right to take them back. The family has no right to take them back, because all those things belong to the woman. Allah then says, and do not marry those women whom your fathers married, except what has already occurred. This was another practice pre-Islam. Indeed, it was an immorality and hateful to Allah, and was evil as a way. Prohibited to you for marriage are your mothers, your daughters, your sisters, your father's sisters, your mother's sisters, your brother's daughters, your sister's daughters, your milk mothers who nursed you, your sisters through nursing, your wives' mothers, and your stepdaughters under your guardianship, born of your wives unto whom you have gone in, meaning you've had a sexual relationship with them. But if you have not gone in unto them, there is no sin upon you. And also prohibited are the wives of your sons, who are from your own loins, and that you take in marriage simultaneously two sisters, except for what has already occurred. Indeed, Allah is ever forgiving and merciful. There are many cultures in this world in which incest is common. There are cultures in the world where people do not have any boundaries of relationships with each other. There are households where women do not feel safe and secure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a buffer zone around women so that they will feel comfortable around their close relatives. All of these ayat in Surah An-Nisa are about preserving the rights of those who are weaker. Women, wives, orphans, daughters, orphan girls, the poor and the needy, slaves, all of those people are under the care of men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has advised men in these ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly defined the responsibilities of men and how they need to take care of the blood relatives in their lives, and also anyone else who is under their care. In the khutbah of the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he spoke to thousands of people and he warned people about the rights of women. He warned people about the rights of orphans. He warned people about the rights of non-Muslims under the care of the Muslim state. In all of these instances, these are people who are subjugated under others. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, women are like prisoners under you. Your wives are like prisoners under you. Islam teaches tolerance and a lot of patience to men. Subhanallah, if men would only open up the Quran, it would seem as if the Quran has been written on behalf of women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a beautiful life for women in Islam. It is a life that is of ease. It is a life of protection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the rights of weaker people, and He warns men of keeping within the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for them. In these ayat, there's not a single ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to women and warning them of misbehavior. Because Allah knows that women are tolerant. Allah knows that they will be patient. It is the men who will become impatient sometimes. إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best amongst you is the one who is best to his wife. And he said about himself that I am the best to my wives. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam truly was the best example of a husband and of a father to his daughters. Because the Prophet, peace be upon him, had daughters only. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was kind. He was tolerant. He was generous. And he was patient. He was fair. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to nurture his wives. Zainab radiallahu anha, for example, loved to learn how to heal people, so he hired a woman to teach her how to heal. Aisha radiallahu anha was young and she wanted to run and play. He made sure that she was entertained. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to ask the advice of Umm Salama because she was senior and she was a very wise woman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave respect to women and he taught Muslims to give respect to women. The Quran is a beautiful book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words are perfect and beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us to care about those who are weaker than us. Anyone can be a guardian. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints us as a guardian. However, the best guardian is the one who is best to those under his or her charge. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that every person is a guardian over another, and each guardian will be asked and questioned about those who are under his care. So let's try to summarize what we have learned in the fourth juz. The fourth juz seems to be about taqwa. Allah says in ayah number 102 of Surah Ali Imran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises us to fear him alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to hold fast to each other and to not become divided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us of taking the people of the book as close allies, as protecting friends other than believers. Allah says you will hear a lot of disputes from them, a lot of criticism from them. Allah says if you remain patient and conscious of Allah, then even if they attack you in rage, they will not do anything to hurt you. They will not be able to do anything to hurt you. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent help to the believers in Badr and in Uhud, Allah will continue to send help to the believers. But the condition is that we must believe in Allah and we must fear Him. Allah says in ayah number 123, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Fear Allah so that you will be grateful. Allah advises us to run towards His forgiveness. Allah says, Jannah is made for people who are believers, people who have taqwa. Hellfire is made for disbelievers. But a believer may fall into it if they are not careful and they deal in major sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that Allah had promised that if a believer abstains from major sins and believes in Allah, then they will not be placed into hellfire. And throughout this discourse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticizes the Jews and the Christians for not accepting Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to tell us of all the silly excuses the Jews would make about not accepting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also teaches us the balanced approach. And He says that all of them are not the same. Allah inspires us to be firm, to be steadfast, and not to fear anyone other than Him, because no one can harm us. Nobody can harm believers as long as Allah is with us. But what went wrong in Uhud? Why did the Muslims suffer defeat in Uhud? Allah teaches us lessons from history. He teaches us that the reason the Sahaba were defeated was because they disobeyed Allah and His Messenger. They outrightly disobeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us to be tolerant. He teaches leaders of Muslims to be tolerant. And He tells us that people will make mistakes. But we have to be forgiving and we have to overlook weaknesses because human beings are weak. We all make mistakes and we should continue to be united and continue to consult each other in matters. Allah says, do not think that you are going to enter Jannah and you will not be tested. Allah says, so is one who pursues the pleasure of Allah like one who brings upon himself the anger of Allah and whose refuge is hell? Allah teaches us that these two people are not the same. Allah says, only hypocrites are those who are afraid. Only hypocrites are those who fear that death will overtake them. But death is only in the hands of Allah. And if a person leaves their home for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if they die on the path, then they are martyrs, and they have a great provision from their Lord. Even though Jannah has not officially opened, but yet the souls of the martyrs fly there everywhere. Allah says, Shaitan, Satan, he frightens you of his supporters. But Allah says, so fear them not, but fear me, if you are indeed believers. In the last 10 ayat of Surat Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes a true believer, someone who remembers Allah all the time in whatever position he or she may be, and ponders over the creation of Allah, seeks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, makes dua before Fajr. He worries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may humiliate him on that day, and he is conscious of that. He is conscious of being questioned in Akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages such people and says that he will never forego any of their deed, any of their amal. But he does say that you must be patient. Allah says, Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu sabiru wa sabiru wa rabitu wa taqullaha la'allakum tuflihun. O you who have believed, persevere and endure and remain stationed and fear Allah that you may be successful. Ribat, Allah says Rabitu, remain stationed. What is Ribat? The Prophet, peace be upon him, used this word in a hadith. And he said to do complete wudu in hard circumstances is Ribat. To go walking to the masajid from a long distance is Ribat. And waiting for the next salah is also called Ribat. To be stationed, to stay put in the place of battle. Sabiru, in the intensity of battle, the hardest form of patience. It is challenging, but Allah makes it easy from whom He will. May Allah make it easy for us. Ameen. The beginning of Surat An-Nisa that we read together is also about taqwa. The central theme is taqwa. People will be fair to others, to other human beings, especially those who are weaker than them, only out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these ayats center around the theme of taqwa of Allah and to fear Him alone and not to be intimidated by anyone of His creation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our taqwa and our iman manifold. Ameen. And may He forgive all of our sins. Ameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.